800-585-4980.
Listen up, you pond scum! My job is to take you eggheads, geeks, and poindexters and turn you into lean, mean App River nerds. Starting right now, you're part of App River, the finest anti-spam team in the world. We don't make folks buy expensive equipment or update software. We give folks 30 days for free, and with no service contracts, we have to prove we're the best.
App River. Better email from better nerds. That's appriver.com. appriver.com.
They are in their 60s.
Well, Brian is.
Jesus.
I just finished doing a documentary, which I kept saying, not that I kept saying no to, but I also know that anything AC/DC related, and you get this book called Why AC/DC Matters, anything AC/DC related, I'm not even going to, I can make my prediction right now. Anthony Boza?
Yes.
Not one AC/DC guy's involved with this, without even looking at it.
No, but that's not the point of it.
No, I know
but
that.
Yeah,
but I
no,
can tell.
Not.
Now, did you try to involve them?
Here's what I've been doing. It's been 5-6 years. I've been asking them to let me write the book, and they keep saying respectfully, "No, we don't know if we'll."
What
ever
the
do
book
it.
Like about them?
Like the official day one history. Let's do this kind of book.
They
don't want. They don't care. Don't you think?
Case closed. You're dealing with some Australian.
Yeah, outlaws.
Mafia. The mafia,
yeah,
they are the biggest thing. They're bigger than like America,
yeah,
as a whole. They don't care about anything, and you're never gonna infiltrate those monsters.
Yeah,
how did you even get the rights? This is what blows me away. How'd you get the rights for the logo?
Well, they knew about the book. And my other credentials, I guess, passed in management. They sort of, my
which the other credentials are?
Wrote Slash's autobiography, Tommy Lee's autobiography.
I read it in 3 days, my brother.
Oh, thanks, man.
It was a great read.
Nice, thank you. That was awesome.
It had pictures, which we're going to get into.
He's very upset about no pictures.
No pictures.
However, he said it was short. However, I said, genius on your behalf.
Thanks,
I picked up the book. Immediately, I went, he knows, let me tell you, I'll give Anthony a lot of credit for this. He knows as an AC/DC fan, I see this AC/DC book, I pick it up. First of all, it sticks in my pocket for a jeans trip. Second of all, I'm going to read this because I look at the back and I see 120 pages. If this thing was maybe 40 pages more, I'm putting it right back.
Yeah,
I'm not going to read. I can read everything about AC/DC in exactly 120 something pages. So with that, I'm going to find myself reading it no matter what. You go, 120 pages, that'll get me to Chicago.
Yeah.
I
wanted it
easy
to be
read.
like an AC/DC song. They didn't write Kashmir. They don't have any 17-minute jams. You know, everything is like to the point, say it, get out. So
I like that attitude.
Yeah.
They know how to make a cookie.
Not a cake.
They know how to make a chocolate chip cookie. For years, people were like, if you take some coconut, and you put maybe some, wait on that, we're just chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, but now everyone's doing a whole package deal. It's on and put in restaurant. We don't do that. We make the batter and chocolate chips. And that's what we do. We're chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, right? A little fudge. A little Keebler's really out there. We don't give a fuck about no Keebler. We're AC/DC. So what is you do the sled? Are you like a little rock and roll head?
I'm
like a little rock and roll dude.
Or? Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote for Rolling Stone for 7 years. Was on staff there.
How old
kind
are
of
you?
A dream job. I'm in my late 30s. 38.
Is that bad?
You're 38.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No. You look like a little kid.
You look like you're like. I thought you were like 26.
Yeah.
Maybe you look like a kid. So you
Thanks,
wrote
man.
For Rolling Stone. When you wrote for Rolling Stone, you get to do it at your house, or you gotta
I was
like
in the
office.
I was in the office, yeah.
And who do you have to, how does that go down? You got it, you go to your boss, and you're like, I want to go follow you two around. Or does he go, listen, it's like a new band out of Pennsylvania. I want you guys going to read about that.
It's more like the second one.
You know, really?
Well, I could ask for the first one, but they'd be like, get in line, kid.
Yeah, especially, get in line.
You know, they'd be like,
no one,
you.
Charlie gets the gig. You know that.
Yeah, he's been waiting for 15 years.
Wow. So now when you go and do the Rolling Stone gig, right, the Rolling Stone magazine gig, what was your first article where you're like, I did that?
It was the first national cover story on Eminem, which was great because I'd heard about him like a year before when he was unsigned and told my editor about him. And I had my little, like, almost famous moment where they were like, all right, you're going to do 300 words on this kooky video, my name is. And then they saw the numbers that he was selling the first week, and they're like, all right, you're going to Detroit, kid. You're on. So that was it. That was really cool.
So I would assume, let's see, you're in late 30s of a tour. He's huge. You're peaking. He's peaking.
Yeah.
They fly you to Michigan, put you up and all that. Nice hotel, or do they jack you?
You know, it's all right. It was the 90s. People had more money.
It's nice. It's Detroit. Later, yeah. The little certain areas, you know.
Well,
all
Detroit
right.
For like $100, you're pimping.
You didn't put right, you didn't put the article out yet, so you're still like, hey, we got these nice hotels along the outskirts.
Yeah.
Just go for a cab, we'll reimburse you.
Exactly.
So do you get to hang with Eminem?
That was, you know what, that like made my career. It definitely was hit him right at the peak. And at that point, yes, we hung. I went.
So how's it go? Walk me through the intro. I'm a fan. I want to hear, I'm your buddy. What's your buddy's name over there?
That's Jason.
Jason,
you
guarantee.
You can call him Southside.
With Southside is one of the guys you call me, like, Southside? Yeah. Dude! You know that faggot who does all the fucking YouTube? Fuck him, because I'm going to fucking do Eminem. This faggot doesn't even know I'm blowing up. So,
yeah.
I want to hear that phone call after you just went, I'm like, what happened? Eminem, all walk right. Me through it.
Well, the first time I went to
Can
meet
I get
him?
Some Eminem music? Lou? All right, bang.
First time I go
I'm
to meet
Detroit,
him?
I'm in Detroit, here he comes. Anthony Moses walking down the street. Uncle, fuck, I meet Eminem, bro. Rolling Stone, here I come.
Well, the first time I met him, he was actually puking in a bathroom.
Now, you suspect? You think this is drugs, or is he going to pull the, yeah, got a bug?
No, he did the Rolling Stone cover shoot, and it was with David LaChapelle, and I think he'd never
David
been...
LaChapelle?
Yeah,
Not David LaChapelle. Hey, man, give me a smile, nigga. Turn to the right. I am an M. Bounce up and down. Put your hand to the side, nigga.
No, not that this one.
All right. Dave LaChapelle.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Damn that Dave Chappelle. Every time I mention my credit is away. Because I think of the African-American boy who had that big show. And the movie had big. Now my career is fucked. Sorry.
That's okay. So he had a...
Sorry, man. No, it's good. Funny. By the way, the book is called Why AC/DC Matters. Go ahead, Hammer.
So Eminem got really nervous during the photo shoot.
Yeah.
David LaChapelle. It was where he was covering his junk with dynamite on that first Rolling Stone cover, for anyone that remembers. So he had drank all this rum during the shoot.
Oh.
And then, so I go to meet him in his manager's office, and he's puking. And then we buy a bunch of ecstasy, and he makes me
buy... The two of you?
Well, we're in this limo in front of his manager, and this Dude. Guy comes to the window and
hold
he gives
on,
me the
hold
money.
On. Can we get a car screech? Holy crow, Batman! We're in the third act.
Yeah.
He went from we're in the door, so we're in a limo, ecstasy.
Yeah.
You just left out a lot. What's the first? You walk in there, and Eminem. He immediately takes you in. Well, of course, because you're representing Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Well, he didn't talk to me for the first 24 hours. He just glared at me and was
so what
weird.
Do you have to follow him around the whole time? Is that the deal? Or
I followed him to do a bunch of little New York shows. Then we took an airplane together to Detroit.
Jet?
A commercial jet and coach. Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Not the two of you?
Glam. And his manager, yeah, behind us, yeah.
Wow.
So it was like super early. I mean, it was, you know.
Right. Yeah. No, he has no clue what's going down real soon.
Yeah. He was still in a trailer, and we went out there, and I met Kim and the baby, and there was
That's
an eviction notice
up.
On it. He left the door open because they'd gotten robbed so many times. It was good. It's all in the story. I just wrote.
Wow, that's freaking awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So now you're hanging. So he doesn't talk to you for like 24 hours.
Yeah, it's just being all weird.
Now, so when's the weirdness break?
On the plane.
What goes down?
We're next to each other, and we just sort of started talking about, you know, like LL Cool J and like early rap, and then just started talking. Ended up talking about like his mom, and he really like got into stuff that he really stopped talking to people about later.
He trusted you.
He trusted me.
He found the trust in you.
Yes.
I trust you 1,000%.
I trust you, man.
You got a trustworthy face. He really does. Anthony, I'll let you babysit my kids. Just met him. He's that trustworthy.
Jesus.
And just
I'm
because of that.
I'm going to ask him a few questions first.
And even though... Even though there's no pictures, which really upsets
there's
Oprah.
There's sort of pictures.
There's little...
Little pictures in the before every chapter. So they're what, just, you know.
After doing guys like Eminem, then you did a couple biggies.
Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee.
That was huge.
I got a phone call from Tommy Lee.
You did?
I'm going to say 1997, 1998. This is the conversation. I go... Hey, man, what's up? He's like, dude, just came out of prison, bro. Dude, her fucking lawyer is creepy, dude. He's like trying to, dude, I shoved her, and it's like the worst idea, but she's fucking throwing shit at me, man. They're trying to rap me for the shit, dude. Dude, all I'm going to say I'm fucking innocent, man. It's fucked up. And at the time, I'll tell you what the date was. I said, well, dude, I've got this which has been stolen from me. I have this thing called South Park. It's this little cartoon and Jesus is fighting with, dude, I can really use a laugh, man. Hope you're cool, man. Talk to you soon.
Wow.
And that was one of the last I heard from him, too. And then we crossed paths a couple times and... He's quite a cat.
Oh, yeah. Not what I'd call mellow.
No.
No.
None whatsoever. Big boy, skinny kid.
Yes. Hyper.
Hyper.
He's like, he's sort of, I always said he's sort of like a 4-year-old, like a really horny 14-year-old, and like a 44-year-old. It's terrifying.
You're right, terrifying man. You nailed it right in the button.
He's scary.
So how does that bring you to why AC/DC matters? Because this, I would assume, is your... Is it your first book where you're not actually talking to the band or?
Well, the Eminem book is like a bio of him that he gave me permission to do and let me interview people.
Right.
But so, but
even
yeah,
then, you met him.
Yeah, yeah.
You're hanging out, you're in an ecstasy in a fucking limo, calling up your boy. What's your buddy's name?
Southside.
Southside! I don't know where I'm at, man, but I'm on ecstasy with fucking Eminem. His mom's crazy, he's got a kid sick, man. Dude, I'm happy for you, I'm happy for you. And one side, hello to Anthony! Anthony! Can't wait to your home, man! So.
That's accurate as well.
That's the real fun part of life. So how does that, I assume this is the only book.
Right.
Where you didn't get to talk to any guys, because I know they shut your ass down. Me,
yeah.
Hi, this is a... Hello?
Yeah. What happened?
Hello, it's Tommy Lee.
Yeah. You've got great credits.
Tommy Lee.
But no.
Come on, you're Tommy Lee. The only people close. Maybe Rolling Stones. Maybe. That's their attitude. Their attitude is like, unless you're fucking Jesus, don't ask us for shit. We're AC/DC. Bang, feedback. They're unreal. So what inspired you to write AC/DC is the greatest rock and roll band of all time? Actually, you didn't say that. Rick Rubin said that.
Yeah.
Why AC/DC matters?
I just love them, man. And I was at, you know, obviously at Rolling Stone, and they're a band that the mainstream, like the critics that, you know, the really like renowned critics never ever mention.
This is the first time they were ever on Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Well, they did them once in the 80s when Back in Black was number one for like however many million weeks it was number one. But it was like a news story. It was like they put a little picture of Brian on the cover then. But that's it. And Rolling Stone comes out twice a month.
Right.
And for that many years, that's a lot of opportunities.
You know. They dropped the ball with AC/DC.
So pretty much that's where it was coming from. And like critics always just kind of say like they keep doing the same thing. They have no talent. And that's ridiculous. They're like amazingly talented. It's all no frills, you know. It's like the true essence of rock and roll. It's like we're doing it our way. We're not changing for anybody, and we're always solid, you know.
We make chocolate chip cookies, and we know how to make them. We're not going to make them soft baked. We're not going to make them creamy. There'll be no sprinkles, no coconut, no raisin. Chocolate chip cookies.
Big chips.
And we kill everyone.
Big chips. Man.
Big fucking chips. It's unreal. Well, the book is called Why AC/DC Matters. It's from Anthony Boza. You got another one in the works?
Yeah, man. Doing Wyclef Jean of the Fugees. Wyclef.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know the food. I know the Fugees.
Little hippity hoppity.
But yeah, I'm still. This is when I realized, wait another 3-4 years. Well, you're in the world of where you're supposed to be. That's, you know, you need to have like a whole ambiance of,
well, I have my Seal over here, right. And my Metallica here, and oh, look, Billy Idol's still there. Nice.
So to see, that's your lifestyle. But me, I'm literally like, oh, all right, yeah, Fugees. I like that song.
Yeah.
But when it comes to names, I'm lost. I'm like a fine wine. I know, like, yes, Friday I'll have. Matter of fact, on the ride in here,
yeah,
I listened to AC/DC Live.
Nice.
To this day, probably the best live CD in the history of CD. And also the best opening rock concert video. Very close to Judas Priest Electric Eye.
That's a good one.
Very, very. It's a rough start. I battle that one back and forth. Very obscure with the Priest Electric Eye. Laser round circle around him. But AC/DC Thunderstruck.
Oh, amazing.
When it cuts to the crowd, to this day, when I hear this, I don't know where to cry or try to rub out the goosebumps on my ass, and I get them right on my ass. And I turn it up, and it, for some reason, this video makes me want to grab my children and go, get over here. Watch this. Hannah Montana what? Jonas who? I want you to watch the first 2 minutes. That's all I want. And then he comes out, and you're like, oh, all right, this guy's entertained. Kids love him because of the head bop, and he looks like a clown anyway, so he's already attractive to children. But then when they kick in, you bad, you bad, you bad, you bad, son is bad, and they cut to what, this is genius camera work, they cut to what appears to be 4.8 billion individuals all locked up on one line jumping in unison to the point where people in Indonesia were like, oh, have an earthquake. To this day I just see that one moment.
Oh, yeah.
I start to cry and I'm like, oh, my hope for being a rock star still lives. It's the greatest opening to any concert ever. Damn, we ran out of time, man. I talk too much.
Oh, no, we like no. Just
you're awesome. Listening. Opie, I don't know how you keep a straight face in here.
Thanks,
man.
For hanging.
Yeah, no,
he's just funny.
I'm going to read this tonight. Why AC/DC Matters. Hey, we stay in touch, man?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I'd love to.
What about Southside? You want to stay in touch?
Southside? Well, let's get a limo and some ecstasy, and we'll just do this thing.
I'm already in touch through Anthony. He's going to be calling Anthony.
I wanted to know what kind of connection you made with Eminem. Could you call him right now?
If I had his number, I did do.
No,
I,
but you
I
stayed friends.
Him. Yeah, yeah. No.
When did he blow you off? You think?
Well, I was one of the three people he'll still do interviews with.
Really? Dude,
yeah, I did the big one for all the European.
We're not gonna get cut off, right?
Let's call Eminem.
This is I wish I was able to talk to Eminem because this is what I would say to him. This is a great rock and roll moment. You keep playing this, by the way. We're in the back of a tour bus.
Right.
We're outside the Fillmore in San Francisco. Lars from Metallica. He's like, dude, we're fucking hanging out tonight. His hair. He's got Eminem's hair.
Wow.
If you do your history and look at him, he had a haircut like Eminem. Like, it was short and it was blonde. I was like very confused by it. So he's in the back and we're moshing in the back of my bus to System of a Down. I mean, moshing. In the middle of it, his phone rings, right? And he's like, dude, fucking turn down the music. Turn down the fucking music. Fucking, this is the call I've been waiting for. He gets on the phone, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at him, and all of a sudden, he's like, okay, hangs up. Fuck Eminem. Fuck Eminem. I said, what's going on? He goes, we just fucking offered Eminem to go on, like, the greatest concert event ever. Be fucking Eminem and Metallica in one bin. Don't want to fucking do fuck Eminem. Turn back the fucking System of a Down. Wow. And for the rest of the night, he blew my speakers. Wow. And I 2 weeks later, his hair wasn't blonde anymore. Wow. Yeah, I think he had this obsession with Eminem when he was huge for a while.
He got over it, though, huh?
He got over it real quick. On. Fuck Eminem. Well, I would have loved to hang, man.
Nice, man. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Anthony, Southside, lovely wife. Nice to meet you. All the best to you. JimBrewer.com. Check out the new book, Stu Kamen's. Check out Stu Kamen's wherever he's playing. He'll be playing somewhere shortly. He's been waiting on line for 2 hours, and I apologize. I couldn't get to you, bro. Why AC/DC matters. Why AC? You can get this anywhere?
Anywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Bing, bang, boom.
Through my website, AnthonyBoza.net, all that jazz.
Be safe. God bless. Talk to you soon. No news this weekend. No news.